Okay, welcome to the deep dive. Today we're digging into this techno-political gauntlet. It feels like it's really speeding up the split in global tech.
It absolutely is. We're seeing this, bifurcation into two pretty distinct ecosystems now. You've got the US-led bloc and then the China-centric one pushing its Made in China 2025 goals.
Right, two ecosystems.
And the key thing is, this split creates vastly different futures for tech firms across Asia. It's not one single story anymore.
Okay.
So we're looking at maybe three archetypes today, based on where they are, geographically and in the value chain, being Chinese brands, Taiwanese ones, and then that Southeast Asian ecosystem.
And this isn't just high-level policy for you listening, right? This
Right.
whole realignment hits your wallet. I mean, supply chains might be fragile, prices could jump suddenly.
Exactly. And this new standards wall idea that affects what tech can even work together.
Okay, let's break that down. How is the U.S. actually formalizing its side of this?
Well, they're moving way past just tariffs now. It's become more structural. We've seen these bilateral technology prosperity deals, TPDs, signed with key allies, Japan, South Korea, the UK.
TPDs.
Yeah.
And they focus on specific tech.
Very specific. AI, 6G communications, and quantum computing. Those three.
Why those three in particular? Seems very targeted.
Because they're seen as the future control points, essentially. If you align the technical standards for those critical technologies, that's the standards wall, you create this really potent long-term
A
barrier.
barrier to Chinese tech getting into those markets, presumably.
Precisely. And it's a systemic thing designed to last longer than, say, election cycles or shifting tariff policies, much deeper than the old ad hoc penalties.
Which really contrasts with the current U.S.-China relationship itself, doesn't it? That feels much more fragile.
Oh, extremely. It's like a transactional truce right now. They've basically dodged a bullet that threatened 100% tariff on all Chinese
And
goods.
the truce is basically,
What?
don't slap on the tariffs, and China holds off on its rare earth export controls.
Pretty much. It's like mutual leverage, very unstable. And that instability shines a spotlight on the direct targets.
So Chinese brands, Lenovo, for example.
Exactly. For them, the US market is turning into a massive liability. They're the ones facing the direct threat of those huge tariffs, other barriers too. And it's all happening when public opinion is, not favorable.
Yeah, you mentioned that Pew Research data from March 25, 77% of Americans with an unfavorable view of China. That's significant context.
It really shapes the consumer landscape they're operating in.
Okay, let's pivot to Taiwan then. Companies like ASUS, Acer, you call their position a precarious advantage. What does that mean?
Well, they benefit, short term anyway, from the US friend-shoring push. It helps them get around some of the current tariffs aimed at mainland China.
So that's the advantage part. What's the precarious part?
The huge underlying risk is the Taiwan situation itself. Any kind of military pressure, like a coercive quarantine or a blockade, the economic fallout globally is estimated at, $2.7 trillion? It's staggering.
Wow. And even if they move production.
Right. ASUS, for instance, moved, I think, over 90% of its US-bound manufacturing out of China. But their headquarters, their R&D, and critically, their access to TSMC for the most advanced chips, that's all still in Taiwan.
And TSMC is that huge choke point for high-end semiconductors globally. So their economic future is directly tied to that geopolitical risk.
Absolutely defines their situation. Meanwhile, you look slightly further afield, Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Malaysia.
They seem to be the winners in all this shifting.
They're certainly the immediate beneficiaries. Yeah, they're becoming the new workshop. Huge investments are flowing in as manufacturing moves. Vietnam's now the world's seventh largest electronics exporter, which is quite a jump.
But is it sustainable? Are they capturing the high-value stuff?
That's the catch. Mostly they're winning the assembly lines, the lower margin production, not so much the R&D, the intellectual property. So yes, they benefit from the realignment geopolitically, but they haven't quite leapfrogged into that top tier of tech creation yet.
Which brings us back to the person buying the laptop or phone. There's this strong geopolitical feeling, but also real worry about costs. 61% of U.S. consumers concerned about the cost of living. How does that play out?
It basically splits the market. You get one group, maybe smaller, the values-driven consumer. They might pay a bit more for, say, made in Taiwan because of the politics. But then there's the much larger group, the value-driven mass market. They're prioritizing cost above almost everything else.
And we're seeing prices reflect the shift already.
We are. Acer confirmed they'll raise U.S. prices around 10%. That's directly covering the costs of moving production or paying tariffs. That's the gauntlet tax hitting your wallet.
So pulling this all together, what's the most likely path forward in the near term? More chaos.
Probably something like muddling through, continued uncertainty, a gradual, probably quite messy, realignment of supply chains.
Not a quick fix, then.
Definitely not. For companies, survival means achieving what we might call radical supply chain resilience. It's not enough to have a China plus one strategy anymore, just one backup factory.
They need more options.
They need China plus N. Maybe 3, 4, even more diverse production hubs spread out globally. That's the only real way to insulate against shocks from any one region.
Okay, final thought then. An EY survey found 36% of consumers don't even consider brand names anymore when they buy tech.
Yeah. Price sensitivity is high.
So if geopolitics forces even advanced companies, your Acers and Asuses, into just competing on price against budget brands to survive, what does that do to innovation, to the quality of the tech we all rely on? Something to think about. You've got the context now to see which players might thrive and which might just struggle in this new landscape.